Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
You're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WVFF 97.7. Glad to be here with you. Today we are knee-deep in the book of Daniel, one of the most complex and difficult to understand portions of Daniel, very complex and difficult to understand. He had some very, very complex and very intricate visions and dreams. And for centuries, people like us have tried to understand them. I've come to my understandings of partial understandings of what I believe he has said. We are just going into chapter 8, coming out of chapter 7. And chapter 7 dealt with the end times and the end times battle. And right at the point where God returns, and he actually brings his throne down, and his throne is mounted on these wheels, vehicle-like things that Ezekiel goes into depth describing. And I want to jump back to chapter 7, and you can catch up with us on WVFFradio.com and get all the past episodes. We're going through the entire Bible, and like I said, we're going to jump back to chapter 7 just for a second. And this is when the Antichrist has been put down, midway, a little past the midway point, probably year and a half past the midway point of the tribulation. And we understand, especially from Daniel and 27 other places in this book, that the rapture that the Christian church is looking for does not happen until slightly after midway through the tribulation period into the great tribulation period. And Daniel really nails it down here in chapter 7 and proves it. So there's going to be a great falling away, according to 2 Thessalonians, and that falling away happens because pastors for years have told their parishioners that they're going to be taken out of here before this horrible stuff starts to happen and this Antichrist is here. But no, you're going to be here. In fact, the Antichrist overcomes the church. He makes it illegal for open Christianity to exist, and he tracks down all of the lawbreakers at that time, and there'll be no safe place for you to hide. God says, when you see these things, go to the hills. He doesn't say, wait any second, we're going to snatch you out of there, because no, there's going to be a lot of persecution of Christians. And that's why the great falling away that Paul talks about in Thessalonians takes place, because religion has given Christians a snow job. Oh, you're going to be snatched out of here. God's not going to allow that to happen to you. No, no, it's not the case. You got to be prepared. I want to read right where God is coming down. And this is during the Antichrist is put down, his body's destroyed, he's encaptured spiritually, and there is a reflecting period, and Daniel says this, after the great battles, there's a reflection period of about, it says, a few months and a year. So maybe a year, 14 months, 16 months, something like that. And that's when those who have survived are reflecting on what has just happened and who is this great God who has come down and just defeated these evil people. Now, put it in your head, what I'm going to read here is the fact that yes, the rapture has taken place and God has defeated the Antichrist and his armies, and he's actually coming down. And at this time on this planet, there is no flesh that gives any reverence to God. So we're going to start here in chapter 7, verse 9. I beheld, so the thrones were cast down. The Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hairs of his head like pure wool. His throne was like a fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued, came forth from before him. Thousands and thousands, 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, 10,000 times, 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and body destroyed, and given into the burning flame. Let's go back to verse 10. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. No unholy flesh can stand before a holy God. Okay, once you're in the spirit, if you were an unclean spirit, yes, you can stand before him, but not flesh. And it will be incinerated. We're going to go on and look at Daniel's next great vision. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. Okay. Now, what he did in 6 and 7 is he gave the bigger pictures of visions. And now we're going to see one that kind of names nations if you really look between the lines. And America is absolutely in chapter 8, and I'm going to show you how that is. A lot of people, oh, America's not in this book. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't America be in this book? America is a great nation at the end of this world. You know, God put this nation here for two purposes. To preach the gospel to all the world, which we did early on, and then to protect the nation of Israel in the end times battle. And you stay with us here on Between the Lines, you're going to understand that. So verse 2, and I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I was, that I saw in Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in a vision, and I was by the river Ulai. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns. Okay. Now, we've talked about prophecies in the past. And when it comes from the sea or the river, you're talking about humanity. And this is, a river is a moving of humanity. So very diverse humanity. A ram standing by a river, and a ram or a lion or an animal of vigor is a people. Okay, so this ram is standing by the river, which had two horns. And we all have also discussed that the horns on the animal represents the governments of that people. It can be small horns, large horns, great horns, depending on the power and might of the government. And the two horns were high. They were powerful. These governments were powerful. But one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. That is the defining point of this entire chapter, to pinpoint exactly what nation this is in the end times. Okay? So what it's basically saying there is there was a people, a diverse people, and of these people, two governments came out. But one government came out of that people's after the first one. Okay, so what are we talking about here? Because nations only have one government. Let's read a little bit further. And I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. But he did according to his will and became great. Okay. There are many nations who have ruled the known world at that time. Babylonian, Rome, you know, Greece even ruled the known world for a short time. But the known world way back when was very small. It amounted to parts of Europe, the Middle East, and parts of Africa. Sometimes a little bit into Asia. Okay? But this one here says, I saw the ram, the people, pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. but he did according to his will and became great. There is one nation in the history of the world, not modern history, not ancient history, in the history, all time history of the world, that has been known as ruling the entire world, and that was the nation of England, Great Britain. The motto of Great Britain in the last century and beyond was, "The sun never sets on the British Empire." They had world holdings all over the globe. And there was a time, for probably 100, 120 years, where their nations, the nation's navies and armies could not be challenged anywhere. They went anywhere they wanted to go. They imposed their will on anyone they wanted to impose their will on. There is no doubt that that is describing what England had accomplished in the 17th, 18th centuries. Okay, now let's go back to verse 3. So we've established that is England right there, Great Britain. Let's go back to verse 3 where it says, "There stood before the river a ram which had two horns, and the two horns were high." And I said the government is the horn, they're very powerful horns, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. Okay, the United States, America, was a British colony. We are the birth child of Great Britain. And what happened to the United States? We threw off the chains of Great Britain, and we became greater than Great Britain ever dreamed to be. Now, does that mean we own holdings all over the world? We kind of do, and we even did more so in the past. It's not widely exaggerated on like Great Britain did, but there are, I believe, I can't remember how many, it's like 600 military bases the United States owns around the world, okay? And there has never been a military that has the might of the United States military. So out of Great Britain, who owned basically the world at one time, a more powerful nation arose, and that's what it says. One horn became higher, and it came up last, because America became greater than Great Britain. And number 5, "And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west of the face of the whole earth, and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes." Now, we have to tie that to portions of Revelation and a few other places in here, but that is the Antichrist. And the Antichrist, what it's saying is he's attacking these people, and it's very interesting in how the Bible describes it. And the he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. So he leapt into the air and crossed the entire earth. Now this is very interesting, because that's not capable of a goat, okay? But that is capable of a modern military attack using nuclear weapons. "And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran into him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler, with anger against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand." Okay, so you're basically watching what we see here is the history of two nations. One nation comes out of the other, the United States, becomes greater than Great Britain ever thought to be, but for some reason this other nation attacks the United States and destroys it. And we're going to briefly look at that there in Revelation 12:14. You follow me to Revelation 12:14. We're going to try to fill in the gaps of why that battle took place. And it's all because of what America has been tasked to do from God, and that is to spread the gospel through all the world, which we've done early on. And we have one more task, and that is to protect the nation of Israel in one of these last days battles. And that's what we're going to look at here in chapter 14 of Revelation. But then, you know, America is a servant of God, but like Israel did, we followed God for so long, we took our eyes off God, even though we are still God's people. God said, "You are a golden cup." He's saying this to America in another portion of this Bible. You were a golden cup in my hand. Now you're a cup filled with abominations. And that's exactly what happened to the children of Israel after they got into the kings. They took their eyes off God, and then judgment came. So we have one more task, and that is to protect the nation of Israel during an end times battle, and then judgment will come. And as we see with the children of Israel, it all goes hand in hand. God uses the children of Israel's enemies to exact judgment on them. He doesn't rain down hail and fire from heaven. The Babylonians just get their army ready one day and go and snatch all the Israelites out and take them off into captivity and destroy their land. So we're going to look here in Revelation. Let's go out. Let's just start at chapter 12. Read the whole thing. "There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. That is the nation of Israel, clothed with the sun." God is their God. Okay? "The moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, representing the 12 patriarchs of the nation. And she being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered." And if you've been following us on WBFFradio.com, all the episodes, you'll see that a lot of things happened. You know, the Adamic line, way back when, was never meant to procreate. Once they fell in the garden, God had to make a way to redeem his priest, okay? And the Messiah was planned from that moment. And the entire eulogy of the Israelis was to bring into this world the saving Messiah, the one who would make the perfect sacrifice and put things right again. And we're going to kind of rehash that right here a little bit too. So the Messiah is ready to come, okay? "There appeared a wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven, did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered." Okay, now you got to look at the wording there real quick. Yes, Christ came. Christ made the supreme sacrifice to whomever would accept, but the Jews did not accept. But now, in the end days, the Jews are ready to be delivered. They're on the verge of realizing they missed the boat. They're on the verge of realizing the Messiah has already come 2,000 years earlier. Ready to be delivered. "For to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Okay, that 1,260 days tells us we are in the last portion of the tribulation period there. "And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven." Okay, oh, didn't that happen years and eons ago, Pastor Dave? Yes, there was a rebellion in heaven eons ago. In fact, it happened during the first earth, okay? And that's right here. Catch episode 1 on WBFFradio.com. And Jeremiah records a flood. God already wiped this place out once, but he put the sun out that time, and the earth was void and without form, and the waters covered the face. You turn to Genesis from Jeremiah, and it said the earth was void and without form, and water covered the face of the earth, and God said, let there be light, for at least a second time. Okay, yes, but Satan still had access to heaven. Job tells us that. The first chapter of Job starts with, and God called together the sons of God one day, and Satan was among them. And he said, Satan, where have you been? I've been walking to and fro on the earth and in and out of it. Interestingly enough, it also says in here that he stands before the Father and accuses the brethren daily. So Satan was not expelled from heaven until right here in the last few days of creation. And there was a war in heaven. Mike and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And Revelation records this in an earlier chapter where the stars from heaven fell. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before God day and night. That's what I just told you. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto this death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And this is the time when this Antichrist, who is a man to begin with, will be indwelled by Satan himself because of an assassination. Okay, and we've talked about that. And when Satan is thrown out of heaven, it's like it says, he knows his time is short, and he is going to persecute God's children and his chosen people, the Jewish people. And when the dragon saw that he was cast out onto the earth, he persecuted the woman. And that woman is representative of the nation of Israel, which brought forth the man-child Jesus, who is standing at the right side of the throne of God at this moment, waiting for his orders to go and take back the earth. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. Now this is where it ties to Daniel. Okay? And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. The crest of the United States is the great eagle with its two wings outstretched, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. So for one half of the tribulation period. It says there basically that this, in my interpretation, this nation who's represented by the wings of the two wings of the great eagle rescues the nation of Israel and puts it aside and protects it. Okay, and that's where we were right here in Daniel.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.